You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Janae Cummings.
And I'm Kelly Worley. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, September 7, 2016. Today is the sixth day of our fall fund drive, and we're asking you to call 812-323-1200 to pledge your support for Indiana's only volunteer-powered independent local news show.
Coming up in the next half hour, a new edition of our consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
Two local politicians and a labor leader called a press conference on the side of a highway this morning to draw attention to what they called a mess and a failure related to the construction of Interstate 69. Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton, State Representative Matt Pierce, and White River Central Labor Council President Jackie Yenna all voiced concern about Section 5 of the interstate today. Construction has partially halted in that area, which runs from Bloomington to Martinsville, because the Netherlands-based company managing the project has stopped paying construction crews. Today's press conference was held just yards away from the construction site on what is currently State Road 37, where backhoes and other equipment sat idle. Yenna from the Labor Council began by motioning to that equipment.
This machinery back here is idle, and it's idle not by the fault of the workers. It's idle through the fault of the people supposed to be supplying the jobs. These people have bills to pay. They can't pay their bills if they're not working. Keep people, politicians and everybody keep hollering about unemployment, unemployment, people not working, people not enough jobs. Well, we've got people wanting to work. Now, we're doing our part. Let's get the people up higher up doing their part and putting these people back to work.
The Bloomington-based company, Kreider & Kreider, announced they stopped work recently due to missed payment deadlines. Mayor Hamilton referred to two other companies he said were in danger of stopping work. Just before the press conference, there was a major accident in the I-69 construction zone. One man was reportedly injured. Today's crash was one of two major accidents in the construction zone during the past week. Hamilton said the construction delays are posing public safety risks.
The seemingly ever-delayed nature of this construction and the danger it poses travelers are unacceptable. I understand that in large projects like this behind me, unforeseen events or complications can arise. I also understand that when government tries new things and experiments, setbacks can happen. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't experiment. However, Section 5 of Interstate 69 construction is in a mess. The experiment of public-private partnership has failed due, apparently, to a mix of circumstances. Bankruptcy of the parent company, disputes between lead contractor and design contractor, failure of payment to major subcontractors and others. The proof is a delay of 8 months, not due to weather or other technical problems, issues so far as is evident, and an additional delay now, again, due to management and financing.
A Netherlands-based branch of the company, Isolux Corson, was hired by the state of Indiana to carry out work on Section 5 of the interstate. The company's website indicates that it borrowed $252 million to facilitate the project. Just last month, Isolux Corson filed for the equivalent of bankruptcy in the Netherlands and Spain. State Representative Matt Pierce, who represents the Bloomington area, questioned what this might all mean for the long-term future of the interstate.
And as we get closer and closer to the winter driving season, you have to remember that this company that's responsible for the construction is also responsible for the maintenance of the road. And that means that we're going to rely upon them to clear the snow and ice from this roadway when we drive back and forth to Indianapolis this winter, as well as filling the potholes later in the spring. And it just concerns me that if they're incapable of keeping things moving on something as high profile as the construction of this interstate, I don't know what's going to happen when we have to rely upon them to keep the roads clear this winter and the potholes filled in the spring.
Beyond his concerns about Isolux Corson, Representative Pierce lodged complaints against the Republican-controlled state government, which he says has not been responsive to questions about the project.
On Friday, I sent a letter to Governor Pence asking him very pointedly to explain to me what is going on with this project. It's now Wednesday. I'm still waiting for a response. It's frustrating to me that my constituents cannot get answers about what is happening with this project. It's pretty clear to me that the contractor and others involved in this project are trying to keep the public in the dark about what's actually happening. And it's frustrating to me that the Indiana Finance Authority will say go talk to the contractor, NDOT will say talk to the Indiana Finance Authority, and you just get the runaround. You don't ever get any answers. And it's clear from the machinery that's parked here, the fact that there's no work happening on a perfectly clear day for construction work shows you there's a problem.
Mayor Hamilton said he doesn't want to speculate about when Section 5 of the interstate might be completed. The current target date is June of next year, but Hamilton says he has doubts about the company's ability to make that deadline.
A South Bend family is still searching for answers about their collective $18 award after police punched, handcuffed, and stun-gunned their then-17-year-old son. The incident occurred in 2012 at the family home. Police did not realize until 17-year-old Deshaun Franklin was in the police car that they had apprehended the wrong person. The police were responding to a domestic violence call, and Deshaun fit the description of the suspect, who was in fact his older brother. Last month, a federal jury in Fort Wayne ordered the three officers to pay Deshaun and his parents $1 each for violating their constitutional protection against unlawful entry and another $1 for violating their constitutional protection against unlawful seizure. The total payment for the entire family comes to just $18. The court cited lack of visible damages, lost wages, or medical bills due to the incident. A spokesman for the city of South Bend, Kevin Lawler, says the police force has since developed a new procedure manual and undergone ethics and diversity training. The result of the lawsuit comes in the midst of an ever-growing national discussion about police brutality against African Americans and as communities across the nation call for more police reforms and education.
We are in day 6 of WFHB's 2016 Fall Pledge Drive. Now is your chance to support independent local news here in South Central Indiana. Let's head back over to Pledge Central with News Director Joe Crawford.
Thank you, Kelly, and thank you, Janae. We are asking you to give us a call at 812-323-1200. Again, the number 812-323-1200 to support the daily local news right now and to support WFHB, your community radio station. It's not a secret, I think, to most people that local news outlets in general around the state, around the country, are in a lot of trouble. And I think that the daily local news is an example. It's a model for how we can sort of make good, difficult journalism without having to rely so much on advertisement or any of the other models that are currently being tried in attempts to sort of save journalism. We have a model that's been working really well here for a while at WFHB, and we're asking you to support that model. It's a volunteer run. It's independent. We say what we want as plainly as we want to. The number to call to support that kind of journalism is 812-323-1200. You can, of course, also go to wfhb.org in order to, you can just click on the big red donate button on the right side of the page. Be sure to select Daily Local News when you do that. I think as I listen to some of these stories today, Interstate 69, I think, is a really interesting example of something that the Daily Local News and WFHB News in general did a great job of reporting on over many, many years. We've covered the initial questions, or not initial questions, because this project goes back so far, but some of the questions that preceded the construction about how this was all going to happen, including the environmental concerns, some of the problems with some of the contractors. We actually won some journalism awards for the reporting that we did on this, including some sort of investigative reporting into some of the issues, you might say, with the construction in Section 4 of this project. Shows like Interchange, shows like Eco Report have covered Interstate 69 in depth. And Kelly, as one of the folks who've been involved with the news department for a long time, you know that this is pretty much all done with volunteer labor.
That's right, Joe. It's just really an amazing accomplishment day in, day out, year after year that the WFHB news department does this with. We have Joe Crawford, our esteemed news director, who is a full-time paid staff member. And that's about it in terms of the daily local news. Sarah Vaughn is our assistant news director. She is a part-time employee, but you're looking at 1.5 employees who are basically paid to make the daily local news and all the other public affairs programs that you hear on WFHB happen on a daily basis, and everything else is volunteer powered. And that is quite a workhorse, from the co-anchors to the engineers to the reporting. And I want to put special emphasis on the degree of investigative reporting that Joe alluded to earlier, that really is just a remarkable accomplishment on behalf of the Bloomington people who love the community and really want a voice for independent news reporting. And that has been emphasized and awarded by the Society of Professional Journalists on a yearly basis. WFHB brings home a lot of hardware, including best newscasts several times over. So it's a labor of love on the part of everybody who does this out of the goodness of their hearts. But in order to keep that happening, we need you to pledge your support to WFHB and keep the wheels rolling on this. The number, of course, is 812-323-1200, or you can go online and donate securely. We really appreciate your support, and we indeed need your support. We need you to pick up that phone right now and pledge your support for everything that happens here on the radio.
We do indeed. We have a $180 goal for this half-hour long program. We're not there yet. We can get there if you give us a call. I did some kind of rough math in my head earlier, in case you have any ideas about, any thoughts about, well, maybe my money won't go that far. I figured out maybe we spend about $100 an episode or so to produce the daily local news. So even as Kelly alluded, there is some paid staff here at WFHB, very, very kind of skeleton crew. But the total cost basically for producing an episode of the DLN is $100. So if you've got $100, you essentially pay for the community to hear a full day's worth of news. If you've got $50, you know, you've got half of that. If you've got $200, you take care of a couple days worth of local news for the entire community. And again, this is hours and hours and hours of investigation and questioning folks and researching, getting documents, as well as, of course, producing the news, bringing it to you. The phone number to call, 812-323-1200. I really, really would like to see some phone lines light up. 812-323-1200, or of course you can donate at wfhb.org. Let's head back now to Kelly and Janae as they bring you the daily local news.
A contract to remove the Weimer Lake Dam in Bloomington's Wapahani Mountain Bike Park was approved by the Utilities Service Board in its meeting last night. The contract with Indianapolis consultants KCI Technologies was previously tabled in the board's August 8th meeting because of concerns about whether the lake was actually the responsibility of the Utilities Department. Utilities engineer Phil Peden said research confirms the dam is an asset of the department.
The property was originally purchased for the purpose of creating a water resource. And the utility claims Weimer Dam as one of our assets, and it is reported as such to the State Board of Accounts and the IURC.
Peden informed the board in its August 8th meeting that the dam did not pass its 2015 inspection by the Indiana DNR and is currently classified as a significant hazard. The DNR is recommending the dam be decommissioned or reconstructed by 2017. Peden says removing the aging dam is a priority.
The dam was not insured from 2010 to 2015, and then this year it was, by kind of a chance of luck. And then we really foresee as 2017 that it will not be insured, and we would likely incur any expense that happened if there was downstream devastation, where compensation would be required for property owners down there if the dam were to breach.
Natural Resources Manager Steve Cotter said the Parks Department will maintain Wapahani Park with or without the lake and dam.
We had hoped to help fund the feasibility study to get some ideas of what it would take to keep that dam. But given that we don't have the expertise on staff to manage dams, and that the utilities department doesn't really have a reason to maintain a lake there. We understand that the lake will have to go and that the pending development downstream accelerates the urgency of that dam removal.
Cotter said he anticipates the department will revegetate the lake bottom through grant funding. In other business, Utilities Director Vic Kelson said the water rate increase that was approved by the city this summer is about to be reviewed by the Indiana Office of Utility Consumer Counselor. According to its website, the office advocates on behalf of ratepayers in cases being reviewed by state and federal regulatory bodies. The Utilities Department is required to submit its case for the rate increase to the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission by September 27th.
Ivy Tech Community College's Bloomington campus has received an $85,000 grant from the Indiana Department of Education to fund biotechnology career training in local high schools. Bloomfield High School, Brown County High School, Eastern Green High School, and Owen Valley High School are participating in the program. The grant will fund 6 dual credits for high school students that will go towards 2 Ivy Tech certificates. Biopharmaceutical manufacturing and medical device quality are the 2 certificates that students can apply the credits to. These credits also apply to an Associate of Applied Science degree in biotechnology. The grant will fund high school teachers to receive the training that they need to teach the new courses, and it will cover the costs for the students to earn the credits. 15 teachers from various high schools will be completing a 2-week intensive training course over the summer of 2017 in order to teach the classes in the following fall. The grant covers the cost of the training, allows for 3 Ivy Tech professionals to develop the courses, supplies, and equipment for the courses through Ivy Tech's dual credit program, and the cost of earning the credits for the high school student.
It's fall pledge drive here at WFHB. Let's head back over to Pledge Central with News Director Joe Crawford.
Thank you, Janae, and thank you, Kelly. We do need some more folks to give us a call in order to hit this $180 goal that we have got for today's Daily Local News. We're not there yet, but you can help us out by calling 812-323-1200. Again, that number, 812-323-1200. You can, of course, also donate online at wfhb.org. It's important for us to hit these goals during the shows if we're going to ultimately hit the goal that we need, the whole fund drive goal of about $35,000 in order to keep this organization going and keep this organization thriving. I would imagine that there are a lot of folks, maybe you have listened to the news and you've thought maybe somebody else will call and contribute. Maybe there are other folks who will give us a call and donate in support of this investigative journalism that you're hearing on the radio. But we need you to call. We need you to be the one to pick up the phone, call 812-323-1200, or of course you can go to wfhb.org. It feels pretty good to contribute to community radio and to contribute to independent media. I think that's a thing that a lot of folks discover once they do it, that it feels really good to invest in something that you believe in. We work with and serve, frankly, a lot of really important organizations in Bloomington and in Brown County and Greene County, into Bedford. You know, a lot of organizations that do a lot of really good work. We regularly interview those folks and try to tell you what they're up to. And the only way that we're able to do that is through the generous support of the listeners. So if you can give us a call now, if you've got a couple minutes, we just have about 6-7 minutes left in the show. We do need some more calls. The phone number is 812-323-1200, or you can go to wfhb.org to contribute. Let's continue the Daily Local News now with WFHB's weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
It's like a multiplayer video game. It's online, it happens in real time, and it's going on right now. But it's not a game. It's real life. Software security specialists are locked in a vicious struggle with hackers. The good guys try to find and patch software vulnerabilities before the bad guys find them and exploit them. And the good guys are not keeping up. According to Reuters News Service, online hacking and cybercrime is reaching epidemic proportions. It has become, and will be from now on, imperative for you to do whatever you can to safeguard your personal information and your identity. Ransomware attacks are busting out all over because they rake in more money for less effort than any other online scam. Even police departments are getting hit. And lately, tech support scams have been hitting the golden bullseye more and more often. That's where you get an email, a telephone call, or a pop-up on your screen that claims your computer has been hacked or has some kind of nasty software bug. It's urgent, of course. The pop-up may actually freeze the screen. There's a link to click, a number to call, or an email to reply, but don't do it. Hang up the phone, delete the email, and close the pop-up, even if you have to reboot. The Identity Theft Resource Center says the best ways to protect yourself include these steps. Two-step verification. That's where a website emails or texts you a security code whenever you log in. It's more trouble, but it's really good protection. If it's available, use it. Protect your phone, laptop, or tablet with a password, especially if you ever use any kind of public Wi-Fi connection. Get a security app for your smartphone. Smartphones, both Android and iPhones, are being increasingly targeted now, and that's only going to get worse. Get the latest version and keep it updated. Some of these apps will encrypt your data and voice, and even take a picture of anyone, like for instance a thief, who enters too many incorrect logins. Never use the same password for two different accounts. If that means you're drowning in passwords, a good lifesaver might be a password manager, which also makes it easier to change your passwords whenever you want, which should be often. When you spend money online, even if it's a website you've known and trusted for a long time, use a credit card, not a debit card. A credit card gives you a lot more protection from fraudsters because you can protest any unwanted transaction. You might consider an ID protection service, but be careful. Consumer Reports notes that Capital One, LifeLock, Discover Financial Services, Affinion, and Experian Consumer Direct have been fined hundreds of millions of dollars for false advertising, not telling you that using their free trial signs you up, and promising protection they can't really provide. The truth may be out there, but so are the bad guys. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Joe Crawford, Leah Carter, and Casey Ross, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish.
Our engineers today are Rob Schoon and Heather Perry. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, this is Kelly Worley.
And I'm Janae Cummings. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized as Indiana's best newscast in 2015 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. Stay tuned for the Brown County Hour coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.